Good morning. This is Wyoming Debrief from Wyoming Public Radio News. It's Tuesday, August 11th. I'm your host, Charles Pelkey, with these news updates from around Wyoming. A new fast-growing fire just west of Douglas forced evacuations in Converse County yesterday. The Cold Springs fire is estimated to be about 1,000 acres, and an evacuation notice went out for the Ridgewater and Chalk Buttes areas yesterday, but was lifted around 8 p.m. Officials, however, urge caution and for residents to be prepared for changing conditions. Updates are available on the Converse County Emergency Management's Facebook page. Across the state, south of Lander, the Weiser Knoll fire is now estimated to be about 13,000 acres with 0% containment. Residents in the Twin Creek drainage east of Highway 28 and south of Highway 287 remain under an evacuation order. Check your county's emergency management website to sign up for email, phone, or text alerts. Also, a phone app called Watch Duty shares real-time wildfire updates. Critical fire weather is forecast for much of the state this afternoon into this evening. The Wyoming Business Council will host a virtual huddle on Thursday to try to hear from 1,000 Wyomingites about what the state's economy needs. Wyoming News Now's Valeria Fugate reports.
Back in January, the Joint Appropriations Committee voted to slash the council's funding down to 1 year. This was to eliminate government bloat and to stop them from, quote, interfering with free market principles. Yet that vote cut the very entity that brings commerce and business to the state. As a result, the council has taken their business on the road, kicking off their listening sessions in July, starting in Gillette.
What we're finding is that there is a lot of support for the economy, and there's a lot of acknowledgement that the economy is important to our future. And a lot of people that didn't know what the business council was just a year ago are now coming out and telling us what they think the economy should look like and how we should make a difference.
This cross-state outreach is an effort to grasp the pulse of what community businesses need and to better supply grants, support entrepreneurship, and programs for their future.
I'm Valeria Fugate, Wyoming News Now.
A new study has identified what researchers have dubbed snow eater heat waves. The early season weather patterns are making water supplies less predictable. The Mountain West News Bureau's Caleb Radel has more.
Here's how it works. During unusually hot spring days, a big dome of high pressure sits over the mountains, and temperatures don't dip below freezing, even overnight. Normally, spring snow melts a little during the day and refreezes at night. But when it doesn't refreeze, the whole snowpack heats up and melts fast, sometimes at nearly double the normal rate. Dan McAvoy with the nonprofit Desert Research Institute helped lead the study. He says that surge of water can catch reservoir operators off guard.
Is there room in the reservoir? You know, they're used to it more slowly coming down the system. And then that rapid melt is going to have a much higher potential to cause flooding if there's enough snow left.
And McAvoy says these heat waves are showing up more often and earlier in the spring because of climate change, meaning water managers may need to adapt more often in the years ahead. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Caleb Radel.
There is a plane circling low above Salt Lake City. It's part of a research project studying pollutants in the atmosphere. From our Mountain West News Bureau, Sean Higgins has more.
Tucked between multi-million-dollar private jets out by the Salt Lake City Airport is a small twin-engine prop plane. It's flown by the University of Wyoming. They're here until the end of August to measure ozone levels in the state. It's a joint project between a half dozen stakeholders, including several universities, the Utah Department of Air Quality, and NASA. University of Montana PhD student Amity Dieters says the flights fill an important data gap.
We have a bunch of ozone ground monitors, and then we have satellites that can measure ozone columns in the atmosphere. but we don't have a lot of information about the in-between of that.
Ozone forms when pollution reacts with sunlight. One of those pollutants is wildfire smoke. That's what Colorado State University PhD student Brandon McGuire says he's most interested in.
It's interesting to know kind of how much smoke there is, how much that contributes to the composition of the atmosphere, and how much that could contribute to the ozone formation ultimately.
Researchers hope the data will help inform future air quality decisions.
That's Sean Higgins from KUER News in Utah. The chair of the Wyoming Freedom Caucus, a hardline conservative voting bloc of the Republican Party, has thrown her hat into the ring for Secretary of State. According to a Wildfile article, Rachel Rodriguez-Williams says she's dropping the Rodriguez from her name to, quote, keep it simple. Williams got a master's degree in criminal justice from Columbia Southern University, an online program in Alabama. She then worked in law enforcement for 7 years in Marin County, California. She moved to Cody in 2007 and was elected to the House in 2020, focusing on protecting gun rights and ending abortions in the state.
5 years in Cheyenne, and I've taken on the swamp, the woke mob, and the bureaucrats who think they know us better. I've sponsored more pro-life legislation than anyone in state history.
In her campaign ad, she says as Secretary of State, her priority would be, quote, rigorous voter verifications and ending ballot harvesting. She also proposes to aggressively cut red tape and protect Wyoming's business-friendly policies. Millions of people in Colorado and across the nation lost their health insurance after the pandemic wind-down ended automatic re-enrollment in Medicaid. Public News Service's Eric Galatas reports that could cause more hospitals to close.
An increasing number of Coloradans without coverage haven't been able to pay their medical bills, according to a new Center for Improving Value in Healthcare analysis, which has left hospitals holding the tab. As CEO Kristen Paulson explains, people without insurance frequently delay care and many end up in costly emergency rooms when things get worse.
And especially in our rural areas, this can have a devastating effect on hospitals. And in fact, we've seen a number of hospital closures over the past several years because they just aren't able to make ends meet.
Colorado's rural Southeast, Northeast, and San Luis Valley region saw the biggest losses in Medicaid coverage between 2024 and 2025 after Congress decided not to extend pandemic-era funding that helped people pay for insurance. An additional 3 million people lost coverage since January of this year. The Trump administration attributes the drop in enrollment to its crackdown on abuse and fraud. I'm Eric Galatas.
Agricultural producers impacted by weather such as drought, extreme heat, and wildfires may be eligible for financial assistance programs. The USDA Disaster Assistance Discovery Tool guides producers through the process of finding the right program to apply for. It can be found on the USDA's website, farmers.gov. And here's Ivy Engel with a lighter look at Wyoming news.
This is Around Wyoming. Here are some stories from around the state. A Rock Springs resident is working to make Wyoming businesses more accessible, one sticker at a time. The Rock Springs Rocket Miner reports Mason McDowell uses a power wheelchair and is a board member for Wyoming Independent Living. The Good Business, Good Access window stickers that he's started handing out are meant to celebrate organizations and encourage others to improve their accessibility with things like proper ramps and wide doorways. Memorial Hospital of Sweetwater County is helping make sure people who can't walk longer distances can still easily access their appointments. The Curb to Care assisted parking program will help patients from their car to their appointment and back again in a wheelchair. A Cody man is shooting for the stars and hoping for an Oscar. The Powell Tribune reports filmmaker Jerome Baerdahl created The Light That Remains. The film follows a man who was picked to test the Earth's atmosphere after a coronal mass ejection threatens it. Baerdahl submitted it to several Oscar-qualifying film festivals, where it has to win an award to become eligible for an Academy Award nomination. And Wallet Hub has named Wyoming as the sixth best state to live in based on its safety and affordability. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Ivy Engel.
And here's today's Wyoming trivia question. What and when was the first motion picture made in Wyoming? Send your answer to wyomingdebrief@gmail.com or by message on Instagram or Facebook. We'll be sure to give a shout-out to the first person with the right answer. As for yesterday's not all that trivial trivia question, how many nuclear warheads are based in Wyoming? Well, Cheyenne's F.E. Warren Air Force Base oversees 150 Minuteman III intercontinental ballistic missiles, some of which are in Colorado and Nebraska, but all of which are under the central command of Cheyenne. Congratulations to Jason Sumner, the first with the right answer. Well, that's it for today. Thank you for joining me, Charles Palkey, on Wyoming Debrief this morning. Have a great day and join me again tomorrow.